Thanks for your patience.
Not the least. Everybody needs to have hours.
I'm just moving things around here. Can you hear me okay?
I absolutely can. Sarah Sabatier has a wonderful company called whoamiessays.com, which is a brilliant name, really easy to find. And she will help you create the two best personal essays of your life. She specifically focuses on helping high school students create amazing personal essays to put on their applications for college, we say, or university, as we say in New Zealand. And she is currently based in Mexico, which I love. What time is it in Mexico, Sarah?
Thanks for the great introduction, Erin. It is 12:20, so we are on central time most of the year with the U.S.
Oh, that is very convenient. You know, I'm still quoting what you said. We met on Tuesday with our Schmilly's Power Squad, and I'll talk about that later. But Sarah said, because I was talking about seasonal affective disorder and winter, and she said, you know what, we don't blossom all the time. And I have been telling everybody that ever since.
You know, that did not come from my brain. I don't remember who it came from, but I've been listening to a lot of podcasts and books, and I wish I had the source, but it's not from me. I can't take credit for it, but it's a great one.
Well, I've been spreading the word. Sarah was a teacher, mostly middle school humanities, and I'm going to get you to explain that, for 6 years. And she started her own business in June. So it's a college education essay course. But it is, if you are 16 plus and you do want to write creative nonfiction, which is Sarah's favorite kind of fiction ever, you can participate in her course. I'm going to circle back to, what is middle school humanities? Middle school is your equivalent of our intermediate school, so children are around 11 to 13.
Yes, correct.
But what does humanities teach?
So humanities, that's what I call it, but it was a combination of social studies and English. So I had a group of students for two periods. Actually, I had two groups of students for a total of four periods. And so sometimes we would combine English and social studies together, but most of the time I taught them separately. But some schools call those teachers humanities teachers.
You have not only taught in America, but you have also taught in Mexico City. Were you teaching expat children or were you teaching locals?
I was teaching, locals, mostly locals. I think about 90% of my students are Mexican, or they're not my students anymore, but I miss them very much. And then maybe 20% were, 10% were, you know, we had some a lot of Venezuelans, some Colombians, some Peruvians. Yeah, but no, nobody from the U.S. Yeah, some students were like half Mexican, half U.S., half American, but
And you won a Teacher of the Year award. Do you want to boast a little bit about that?
Yes, I did. It's weird. Like, I honestly kind of forgot about that. And then when I had to create this business, I was like, okay, I have to try to brag about myself so people will want to work with me, right? I won that. That's pretty cool. That was only my second year of teaching. I believe I won that because I created a new elective. It was like a media studies journalism elective. And I caught wind that there was about to be an elective, like a journalism elective. And I tracked my principal down and I said, hey, do you know I have a degree in journalism? Oh, really? Maybe there might have been another teacher. I do not apologize to whoever this was who wanted to teach that, but I was more qualified. So yeah, so I got to start that elective at our middle school. And we had a lot of fun, I think. My favorite part was there was about 12 kids, 12 and 13 years old. And we went down to the University of Oregon, and Peter Loffer, he's a famed journalist and is a chair of journalism at the School of Journalism and Communication at the University of Oregon. And we went into his class. It was all planned, of course. And he led an incredible class. He entertained college students and middle school students, and he was challenging both of them, and we were learning about each other, and it was probably the best experience I've had teaching. Yeah,
and you
learning.
Bring that now to your students. I love the fact you just, oh, by the way, did you know I have a journalism degree?
Yeah, by the way, and then we created the first magazine at West Sullivan, and that I had never created a magazine before, but that took hours and hours of trying to figure out Adobe, and I was doing so I think that's probably why, because my principal probably felt bad that I was trying to create a magazine by myself, so maybe that's why I won Teacher of the Year. I'm not sure.
I think you won it because of your abilities. Anybody who's met Sarah wants to work with her. You help high school seniors, high school students smash that college application essay. And this is a line I love: become a better writer for life. And I took this two ways: become a better writer for your entire life. You can use the skill for your entire life, but also you can use it to enhance your life. Become a better writer for the sake of your life.
Ooh, I like that too.
Why is it important for high school students, or for anybody really, to be able to write a great essay?
It is important because so often we don't get to express ourselves or things that we notice in the world that we think are important or unique. And I think everybody wants to be seen in some way. And if you're able to just break down the barriers to actually get to be able to do that, it's such a freeing experience. And I have been writing creative nonfiction almost exclusively for almost 3 years now, just on my own. And I wrote the first manuscript of my memoir last November, and I'm editing right now. And I'm also interested in, I've written a couple of essays as well. I haven't published them, but for me, it's something that I am very passionate about. And the techniques in my course are things that high school students can do as well. And they are daily habits that I do, and exercises that I do. So it was really fun to create the course. It was basically like everything that I love about writing and about creativity and about emotional vulnerability and expression and getting out those suppressed and or repressed emotions and healing. I think if you break it down, it's really just about healing to bring more love into the world.
Bring more love into the world and be your authentic self and learn a craft. Good writing is a craft, and it is something we do need to be taught. What period does your memoir cover? Because you're still, and I still, you're still young.
Yes, it for a long time, about a year, I was calling it a novel. I'm writing a novel, but it was a memoir. I was embarrassed to say what it really was, but I read The Art of Memoir by Mary Carr, I believe is the author, and after reading it, I was like, okay, I have to call it what it is. It's not a novel, it's a memoir. The bulk of it covers age like 26 through 29. But some periods are earlier, like 18, 19, 20. There's a chapter when I'm 16 that was very fun to write. it's about my relationship with love, and so currently I'm trying to edit it down because there's so much I want to say, and then I told myself, okay, I can write another book, I can write essays, like I don't have to have everything in this one book, but I'm very excited about it.
Sarah has moved where she has moved at least 5 times, and I'm talking about countries: Mexico City to Spain, Portugal, then back to Mexico City. And of course, she comes from the West, in America, the West Coast as well. And I want to talk to you about the one-on-one coaching you offer. But first of all, why? I mean, we know why it's important to have a college essay for people who want to go to college, but Why is it important to start earlier than students think? When should somebody start working on their college essay?
So I know that I'm marketing my course for juniors and seniors. But I mean, you can start with these creative nonfiction writing techniques. I mean, you can be in sixth grade. That's the grade that I primarily taught. I would say, okay, so most students are applying October, November, December of their senior year, so fall of their senior year. So you could start writing about a year before. Although I'm sure for me, like looking back when I was 17, I think I would have changed a lot, like in a year or in 6 months. So maybe students want to write their essay their junior year, spring or summer of their junior year, and then maybe they heavily revise it. But I don't know, it depends on your personality too. For me, I was writing. I was writing my first draft like mid-November of my senior year, which I think most seniors are doing. So I'm trying to get that senior like, hey, it's okay. I know you just are so nervous about actually writing your essay, sitting down and writing it, because I think most people think, oh, this will take me an hour, 2 hours. And truthfully, it really can. You know, you can get down a first draft, but I think the process of okay, let me learn this technique. Let me do these exercises. Let me actually figure out the topic. And in the third module, I created an idea funnel, which I'm very proud of. So I think I'm going to put that on YouTube so anyone can see what that is before they buy the course.
How can parents best support their high school seniors when it comes to writing an essay?
So they can support them just by being there. I mean, it's so terrifying. What is being asked of students, especially now that SAT and ACT scores are in some cases completely obsolete, not even needed anymore in some cases. So the personal essay is more important than it ever was. So I think just sitting down and putting doing a phone pile. Okay, I'm gonna do my work, you do your work. I definitely recommend students handwrite their first draft. Do a series of quick writes where you write as quickly as you can, usually with a timer, not worrying about handwriting or grammar or word choice or punctuation or anything, just writing as quickly as you can. To get some ideas generated. And I think that parents might not want to see the essay because it's so personal. A parent might say to their child, okay, if you don't want me to read it, I'm going to respect your privacy. As long as you're safe, as long as maybe like would you like to talk to a therapist or a mental health professional or another trusted adult? Because what students may choose to write about in their narratives, might be sexual abuse, might be assault, might be about racism or sexism or a topic that's very difficult to talk to anybody about, let alone their parents.
That's fantastic advice. Would you tell me about Who Am I, the course, which has 18 lessons and it's designed to be completed over 6 weeks? Would you tell me more about it? It contains a video, exercises, and weekly quizzes. What will you take students through in these 18 lessons?
Right, so let me just go to there's a lot on my document that's actually open right now. It's 113 pages, so I had so much fun creating it. Let me go down here to the curriculum. I just put the course curriculum on the website so people can see it. So module one, expand, really just not being afraid to expand horizons. I talk a lot about what expand means in the first lesson on habits. So I would like students to actually write in a journal every day and read every day. As long as you're writing and reading every day, that is great. And that's a lot. And that's what I try to do for as a creative and as a writer. if I write and read every day, then even if it's 10 minutes, that's a great start. And then we talk about emotions and how to, and emotional granularity, how to actually describe our emotions. And there are some fun exercises there. There is an activity to activate critical thinking and curiosity. And then we go into, okay, now we've had module one, we've done so much with our brain, and then, okay, there's going to be some challenges. I call it hurdles. So we talk about common challenges with habits. We have a very realistic look at our writing, and we compare our writing with other people's writing, which I know there's always a comparison game, but there's importance in everyone has a unique voice. And then we have the 100 word memoir, 7 drafts. The 100 word memoir is Kelly Gallagher's idea, but the 7 drafts was my idea. And then module 3, voice and vulnerability. Students really try to get their own voice and be extremely vulnerable. This lesson, I tried not to cry. I mean, very extreme in terms of really getting out those suppressed and repressed emotions. Some very intensive exercises in 3.1. And then we have the idea funnel. And then students have created enough quick writes, enough exercises that they hopefully will have, I mean, as many as 20 ideas, but they're going to, in the idea funnel, they'll have 6 ideas and then they'll narrow it down to 2 ideas for their essays. And then in module 4, there's still a whole nother module of preparing before actually doing the first draft. We talk about format and patterns, writing concisely, a lesson on grammar and mechanics. It was hard to try to teach about all of grammar and mechanics in the English language in 1 hour. I was like, how am I going to do this? But Jeff Anderson, he wrote Mechanically Inclined, which a lot of the lesson is based on his work, because that's what I used in teaching. And then module 5, it's time to actually sit down and write the first draft and the second draft, first draft of the second essay. And then we read, reflect, and rest. And then module 6 is called Who I Am.
I love that. I'm constantly asking myself that question.
Right, me too. And then we have some revising and editing techniques where students will actually be empowered to revise and edit their own essays. Because this is a problem that, I mean, as a teacher, I would run into this. A student would tell me, hey, Miss Sarah or Miss Sebastian, I need some help with my first draft before I turn it in. And it was so hard not to just be like, okay, yeah, you're missing an apostrophe here. Second, check your possessive apostrophes, check your, capitalization. But it was so easy just to say, okay, that word needs to be capitalized.
Speaking of punctuation, a slight segue, eats, shoots, and leaves. You know, the zero tolerance approach to punctuation. I don't know if you've ever read that. It's by Lynn Truss.
Oh, yeah. I haven't read it, but I've heard of it.
You're better off just to go straight to Sarah's course, but that's a highly entertaining book too, which tells you off very strictly about when you're using the wrong semicolon.
Oh, I love that. And even I sometimes will have to, commas or something where I'll have to, well, now I kind of have commas mastered, but colons. Okay, do I capitalize the word that comes after a colon? You know, like sometimes knowing the rules, knowing that there are rules is the first step, right? And then maybe you have to Google the rules sometimes because you can't possibly remember everything. That's okay. But just being aware of the rules and being consistent is the most important. So I think it's just important that students feel empowered to edit their own work so that they're not relying on me, because there's some ethical, moral, possibly legal ramifications, consequences if I am helping the student too much. And so I have to be very careful about that.
Well, you obviously can't write your essay for them. Right. You've written an incredible creative nonfiction essay, I don't think you're going to get penalized for it not being perfect about your punctuation, but Sarah teaching you the rules. Please tell us more. I realize it was a big question explaining all 18 modules, but I'm fascinated by what you cover.
Oh, right. So, I'm sorry, I missed the question. I was pretty much done with what we cover. I don't know if you have specific questions.
Well, I completely interrupted the flow, which one should never do when one is speaking. Someone else.
No. There was really just one more. So the final lesson is called Big Asks, and this one is pretty funny. In the promo video, you'll see me in the very last lesson. Like, wait, okay, so you're done, but you have to have some requests, saving the scariest lesson for last, where the student has to ask, I believe it's three people to give them feedback for their essay. And then they are going to submit to some writing contests as well.
Oh, I love that challenge. If you've done the course or you're doing the course, if you want extra guidance, Sarah can give you weekly feedback within 72 hours of completing each module, and that's incredibly useful. They've personalized audio or written clips for you, which is brilliant, and you can actually email Sarah with your work for feedback, which is brilliant, and she'll also work with you live. There's limited availability. This is a woman who's on the move and she's traveling and living out of a suitcase, but work with you live, 55-minute sessions over 6 weeks, which is fantastic. You are like me, want instant feedback and instant gratification. I mean, what if it was a Carrie Fisher said, instant coffee takes too long? So you can email Sarah about booking to inquire about availability, because I know she's leaving Mexico. We're recording this in November, and I know she had some power hours in December. What's the best way to contact you, Sarah?
So the best way to contact me is sarah@whoamiessays.com. Also a direct message on Instagram, whoami_essays on Instagram. We are also on Facebook, whoamiessays and beyond. And December power hours is something that I think many people are going to get excited about, because it's right before the deadline. And so in December power hours, there will be three live one-on-one sessions, and you will also have access to the course. So you're able to book that right on my website if you want to book right away.
I can already think of a high school student that I'm going to send this to immediately. Completely a segue. It occurred to me that a lot of people are trying to come up with a signature talk, or which can often lead to something, you know, you might have the aspiration to do a TED talk. And this is where creative knowledge fiction really comes to the fore. So if you want to write, if you want the two best TED talks you've ever given, or the two best signature talks you've ever given, this course is also for you. I'm going to talk about feedback. Have you ever belonged to a writing group or a critique group?
Yes, actually. I started a writing group last May of 2020. And actually just last week, a woman or a girl, she's 23, in my writing group, she wrote a piece about our writing group, and it's published in the Huffington Post with our picture. So, that's really exciting. I actually left the writing group just about a month ago, because there was just, I felt like, okay, I have too many things going on right now with, launching my business. And I love writing groups. I'll probably be in another one at some point. And then before that, I was in two different writing classes.
I found the article. It's great. In the Huffington Post, I had a pandemic relationship with three people, but probably not how you think.
She's Jamie Kahn. She's a brilliant writer. I'm a big fan of her work. I've read, we've read so much of each other's work, and I sent it to my friends and family, and they all read it and loved it. And so, yeah, big shout out to Jamie Kahn for that piece.
I belong to writing critique groups. I found them incredibly useful for the accountability, having to show up with pages every week, and having six people give you feedback. is a great way to get a general sense. For example, if five people tell me something needs changing and one says it doesn't, I'll tend to listen to the majority. But if you have one person with a very strong opinion, I found it's best to keep in mind that their opinion is not always subjective, and it can come from where they are in their life and where they are at with their writing. Because and we had group rules around being kind, because sharing writing, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, is terrifying, absolutely terrifying.
Yes, it really is. And actually, for a few years, I had my students in writing groups. And this idea, bless press address, maybe it's from Kelly Gallagher as well, I can't remember. Can't remember where I read this, but you can ask for just positive feedback. You can ask for critiques and positive feedback, or you can ask to focus on something directly, like, hey, well, I'm not sure if this dialogue is authentic. Can you keep this in mind when giving me feedback? It's very scary. And I'm actually thinking about creating a, for the course for Who Am I? Well, there will be a summer group intensive, where students will be giving feedback to other students, but I might do the live version. I might have group options as well coming up. Yeah, because it is very powerful.
It really is. And I grew so much from that. And it's very important to choose. I love that. Be very specific about what kind of critique that you want. I wanted to ask you about fashion. I've got a passion for fashion, and I love brightly colourful clothes, probably because I love tropical climates, hot climates, especially hot all year round. Winter is overrated. Four seasons is overrated. First of all, you are traveling pretty much with a suitcase. Where are your clothes, and how many do you actually take with you?
I'm so excited to talk to you about fashion. I am getting more and more into fashion because I am coming up. I'm right now, I have maybe 10 shirts, a couple dresses, a couple jeans, and that's about it. Maybe a couple more, maybe some sweaters. And I'm going to have to cut that in half, because I'm going to be living out of a carry-on for maybe up to 7 months, possibly. So I'm trying to, in very cold weather and in very hot weather. So I'm trying to figure out how I can possibly be stylish, because it is important to me, and be a minimalist at the same time.
Can I suggest a pashmina, a brightly colored pashmina? They're great to put over your knees. If it's in a plane, they're great to wrap around you in a plane. They double as a blanket. They cover you up. Need to,
yes, say no more.
Yeah, if you need to, if there are certain cultural traditions where you need to cover more, they're great for that, and they're really easy to fold, and they don't wrinkle. So I suggest adding one of those.
Perfect. Okay, I will do that. The thing that I'm very sad about is that my very amazing big colorful dress, it just takes up too much space. I was like running around Madrid with it, like in a plastic bag, like going to my hotel. I'm like, okay, this is, I can't do this.
Hey, and I know you've got a love of hats as well, but they don't, you have to be so careful when you pack hats.
Oh my gosh. No, I have to wear it when I travel. That's the other thing. My hat, I love my hat, and I'm going to have to go 7 months without it, because it is so tough. I've almost forgotten it so many times. And a nice man in Puente Vedra, Spain was like, hey, chasing me down with my hat. So
didn't you lose something in an airport? And I saw a post asking for anybody going through Madrid if they could please grab it from the airport.
Oh, yeah. This is crazy. I was so excited to take a shower in the airport. It was like my 12-year-old Eliza Thornberry dreams coming true. I don't know if anyone has seen The Wild Thornberries. But just, I've always been obsessed with travel. I wanted to be Samantha Brown when I was little. And I was like, okay, I know I've already taken a shower recently, but I'm going to take a shower in the airport. And I was just enjoying it a little bit too much. And I forgot my toiletry bag with my very expensive skincare I just bought, my toothbrush, and just Very important things. And a friend from high school I haven't seen since high school happened to be at the airport the next day, but he was not going to Madrid. I don't, he was going somewhere else. And he shipped it to my mom's house in Oregon. Very nice of him. So
Global friends are great. I remember Singapore Airport as having a lot of fantastic amenities.
ooh.
And I remember being in Russia, in the Russian airport, very briefly, but I don't remember any showers. You were wearing a fantastic, was that a top? I think it was last week when we were Zooming and you were showing me around Mexico from your apartment. You were wearing, wasn't that made by a local artisan?
Ooh, my top. What color? I'm trying to remember what I was wearing.
Maybe it was a dress, but it was a. I know you know the person that had actually made it. I have a feeling they were local. Supporting local artisans is also a ton of fun, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. I have a couple things that are made. Actually, what I'm wearing right now, it's like bright blue. It's in some of my pictures and who am I with my hat. That's made in Mexico. My really pretty dress, I believe, is made in Mexico, or at least it's a Mexican designer, Carolina Kay. Some other shirts. I have a lot of pieces that are secondhand. I love secondhand. I try to do that as much as possible. And then I have another shirt that's like a pink tie-dye. Maybe I was wearing that. That is also made in Mexico. It's from Oseo. I actually don't know how to, I can't really read the label very well. But yes, I love, I have some, I just bought some yoga clothes that are made in Mexico, Mudra active wear. Really love them. Yeah.
Maybe we should add those to the show links. I mean, why not?
Yes, totally, completely. They're great. I'm very into Mexico City fashion designers, like, love them. It's Buen Fin, which is like Black Friday, but it's like all weekend and kind of all week long, all these deals. So I'm gonna have to do some shopping this weekend.
Hey, I'm really hoping I get a chance to see you when you're on the West Coast. We might find a way to organize a road trip
Oh my gosh, of course.
because Sarah is a really good friend who I met online. I met her through the We Should All Be Millionaires Club. We Should All Be Millionaires by Rachel Rogers is a fascinating read. I do recommend it. Jump on my site, erinkeem.com, and you'll see a link which tells you more about it under my resources page. And they have a club, and knowing that winter was going to be tough on me, I reached out and put a post and asked for other women to join me in going through her course and reading the book. And Sarah was one of the seven women who responded. And we have created such an incredible international multi-time zone squad from that.
I'm so glad you posted that, Erin. Thank you so much. You keep us organized. You motivate us. My life has been dramatically improved, and I'm so excited to meet you in person. I will definitely make the trip up. It's not very far from Portland to Bellevue, right? Bellevue is where you are.
Exactly. Yeah, I am really good at facilitating. I'm really good at herding cats, people on track. And that comes from 23 years of helping with peer facilitated recovery meetings. So
Wow.
you get very attuned to watching the clock. And but thank you for that. And I love the fact that we've had some very organic conversations, which have stepped outside our agenda. And we have been able to share so much with vulnerability because it's such a safe space.
Yeah, completely. And it's, I love it. I love trying to problem solve because we're also trying to problem solve and be insightful, which you are so good at. That's why, like, if you have not booked with Erin, I cannot wait to book with you to figure out to help. I would love for you to help me figure out more about my life and my closet. So you're wonderful. You're a natural, really.
Oh, I love problem solving strategists. I what would work best for you would be the lifestyle statement, where we would go around. We would have to do a mental tour of the places you loved and the things you loved and the clothing, not even the clothing, but just items and objects you've loved. And we would find your themes and your patterns and an overarching concept, which then you would take to every area of your life. And we will have such a blast. If you're into creative self-exploration, and you have a if you're open to to conceptualizing, do reach out. I get such a kick when women go, oh, that's who I am. So write an essay about who you are, talk to Sarah. If you want to find out more about who you are, talk to me. Find Sarah on whoamiessays.com. And she may be in an airport, she may be in Spain, she may be in Mexico, she may be in Oregon, but she will be there for you. And if you want to write the two best personal essays of your life, she is the person to talk to. Sarah, this was such a treat. What a wonderful way to start my day. Thank you.
Thank you, Erin. I absolutely love talking with you, and I hope you have a wonderful Friday.
Yeah, happy Friday. Bye. Oh, ciao.
Okay.
Is it ciao in Mexico?
Some people do say ciao, but we'd say adios or hasta luego. Oh,
of course, adios. Wrong dialect, wrong language, wrong.
No, we use
adios, mi amigo.
Bye. Adios, mi amiga. Bye.